Here.
Hello?
Have you checked the children?
They're all pot dogs.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
I'm afraid!
Don't be afraid!
No. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Here's Gingy.
Pain has a face. Allow me to show it to you. Gentlemen, I am pain.
I met this 6-year-old child with this blank, pale, emotionless face. The blackest eyes, the devil's eyes.
You think that when you die, you go to heaven. You come to us.
If you can't take a joke, he stinks.
When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk here.
Gore readings, Flesh Wound Radio freaks, and welcome to a brand new episode of Flesh Wound Radio. I am Dan, your horror man, joined as always by two sweet Todd Loya. Todd, how goes it?
I'm just going to say it. Dan the Horror Man is corny as fuck. Sorry.
Your Horror Man. I used to do Dan the Horror Man. Chris, back in the day, didn't like nicknames. I liked Dan the Horror Man.
I'm about to agree with him because that's just corny as fuck. And if you know me well enough, you know I hate corny as fuck.
Then you know I'm still going to do it.
You're easily replaced.
I
got to get him on the line.
It's all good.
Pugs Dread, his gimmick name is not corny, so it works.
It's cool. I don't think I ever referred to him as his real name.
I know.
I don't think I ever have.
Gimmick.
I don't know if you're supposed to.
No, don't break kayfabe. See, we got to get you a cool name, Dan. That's going to be our mission when you're down here. We're going to make one for you.
I've been doing this for over a decade. I can't, Well, hey, I guess Undertaker did it.
Yes.
Maybe I need to become, Biker Dan or something.
Mean Dan Shine. Now, wait, are we not supposed to use your last name anymore? Did I fuck up?
You did it anyways, so.
I know.
Yeah, but that's okay.
Technically, I could delete it.
You fucked up. I don't know shit.
It's not my fault, but
everybody's got a gimmick.
I don't.
Well, you know, public masturbation. I don't know what the statute of limitations is on that, but I might be out of the clear, in the clear soon. So if I get arrested, Todd, it's your fault. But anyway, how goes your week, Todd?
Busy as always.
You're always busy, Todd. Never something cool though. You need to. October, we've got a lot of cool shit. We're going to make up for you work too hard, Todd.
Yeah. Well,
God,
at least
we have
a lot
of cool shit. Come.
At least I only have one show in October, so it'll make it a little less hectic than last time.
Yeah, I was going to say, one show, but one fucking awesome show.
That's
going to be epic.
That's right. Yeah, I know. We'll talk about UEW tomorrow, I'm sure.
Yes, we will. Squared Circle Society tomorrow for you wrestling fans or just fans of us. That show's always pretty wild. I've heard people enjoy it even though that don't like wrestling. So be sure you tune in. I actually am going to plug.
You are a smelly pirate hooker.
Calm down.
I'm actually going to do a plug early tonight. FleshWoundFeatures.com. Check out the Flesh Wound Dan eBay, which you can access through there. I have some Scream Factory with slipcovers going up. Then I also have some rare books. Some stuff's already up. Some will be up in the next few days. Media books and a good variety of different stuff. So, I hope I inspire that kind of excitement.
Just a background noise.
German media books makes my pussy wet.
Just some background noise while Dan's plugging.
Yeah. That is one Bridget the Midget taking a very.
I'm gonna let you take your thing and put it up that thing.
That is a midget getting anal sex from a normal sized and very well endowed porn star. So there you go. If you've never heard that before, that's where that audio clip is.
See,
from.
Dan, that's when you can call everyone a star, when it's a porn star.
I don't refer to – who were you bitching about that I called a star?
You called everyone a superstar last week. You think it's WWE in this bitch. Bill Paxton, yeah.
Bill Paxton is an American treasure. Son of a
that
bitch.
Is true.
God damn it.
That doesn't make him a movie
Don't
star or a superstar.
I'd say he was a movie star. Twister. Big Hollywood blockbuster.
One movie doesn't make you a movie star. If that's
Aliens.
The case, he was not the lead. You can only count the leads. Part of an ensemble cast is a working actor.
Fuck you, Don. It counts. That alone makes you a superstar. But I digress. God, where are we? Oh, there we are. All right, well, speaking of October, which I'll be down in Los Angeles again, we'll have everybody together, which is always nice. They just announced for Universal Horror Nights a Ghostbusters attraction. I'm very excited for that. I know... Universal's announced a few things so far. I know they have another Stranger Things maze. They have a few original ones from what I saw as well that aren't necessarily based on a movie. So I'm pretty psyched about that. You said you weren't sure if Warner Brothers announced anything yet?
I haven't seen them even announce an event yet, but I haven't been paying attention.
Okay. Yeah, well... We'll have a lot of exciting shows for you in October, including on video, which wish we could do that more.
We could if you learned how to use. We could if you learned how to use technology.
When I get a new computer, I'm kind of getting to the point where I'm sort of due just to have a better one. I will. I used to. Is it just a webcam? I haven't used a webcam in forever, but I have used it a couple times, like, way back in the day.
I could teach you. We could technically go live on Facebook and like, be in each other's videos and talk to each other.
Huh. Well, maybe we'll experiment with that a little bit. I can't, like, do the show nude as I like to do, but I will make that sacrifice. It's later here, Todd. Can't look my normal magnificent self at 1 a.m.
You know what we got to do? We got to somehow get Ozzy to go with us because it looks like they got rid of the Friends couch and now they have the Big Bang couch and he hates that show.
So he's going to make Ozzy face on the Big Bang couch? Number one, fuck those guys that they have to take away the Friends couch. I don't know why they would do that.
Fuck Friends.
I'm not even a Friends fan, but it's still iconic. Why are you replacing it?
Well, Big Bang ran way longer, so.
Why don't we replace it, make it a casting couch.
They should sell the fucking growing pains couch if Dan had it, say.
Fuck you, Todd.
The Full House. Unless it's the Cheers bar, I don't give a shit.
Ooh, Cheers Bar would be fun.
Well, you can go to the real Cheers Bar.
You have to... God. They have to have, like, they have to hire, like, George Wendt. Like, they had Maria Olson at the Exorcist attraction. They have to have George Wendt just sit at the bar.
No, that'd be awesome.
Pay him. It doesn't matter what he wants. People can go in and drink with him.
Well,
there you go.
Let's be honest. They could probably get John Ratzenberger to do it.
He's got that Toy Story money, Todd. Wendt needs more.
He does plays and shit. He's fine.
I just want it to happen, Todd. I know it's not going to, but I can believe.
Coach's corpse?
That's fucked up, Todd. Jerry Van Dyke, you mean? I wasn't a coach fan.
No, that's not Jerry Van Dyke.
No, Craig T. Nelson, but he...
No.
Craig T. Nelson.
Coach on Cheers before Woody.
Oh, okay. I thought you were making a coach reference. I'm like, well, did Craig T. Nelson die? I was just going to, like, IMDb. I'm like...
I will never disrespect Coach. That Coach.
Well, there you go. I was like, okay, well, Jerry Van Dyke's dead. It's kind of being a dick, Todd, but all right. We can weekend at Bernie's Jerry Van Dyke.
Well, I'm sure they could get Jay Thomas.
That would be kind of funny as shit to have, even if it was just for a skit, just have, like, the action. Like, have, like, fucking David Schwimmer just sitting on the fucking Friends couch and not say anything. Just leave him there and see how people react. You got to book that. Why don't we have
all right
gigs? This is gold. But anyways, we missed this, and this is so horrible because it came June 24th, I believe, kind of crazy week for me, and I just missed it. But Billy Drago passed away. Somebody, the first celebrity that I ever had any kind of correspondence with. And, I mean, I didn't know him well or anything like that. But I was, even for, like, a very short time, I was going to go to he and his wife's acting school. So he did. He passed away on the 24th. I totally missed it. It was just those a crazy couple of weeks leading up to July 4th. So our deepest condolences. Billy was awesome. Irregardless of what he was in, and if for some reason you don't know the name, you'll know the face, he elevated everything. I always felt Expendables dropped the ball by not making him a villain in Expendables, because, I mean, he was like the consummate villain. He was just so good in just everything. And yeah, he will be missed. I feel bad we didn't point that out, but even you missed it. I don't know if it's just didn't get a lot of coverage. He's somebody that I think deserves better.
Yeah.
So many good movies. Yeah. So anyway, sad news, but rest in peace, Billy. You're awesome. His wife was the maid in Death Wish 2. She was a very cool. She passed away a while back herself, so so he will be missed. He's a really talented guy, and I'm glad I got to meet him. All right, so we have a couple reaction, not news so much, but reactions. There's the new trailer out for Doom Annihilation, which I guess there's not a lot of details, but I guess it's just a new Doom film adaptation. I don't think it has anything to do with the last theatrical movie or anything. So it's going direct to disc from Universal, and people are shitting on it something fierce. Now, the trailer is pretty basic. It's not like a long 2-minute trailer or anything, but at the very least, there are flashes of some decent makeup. It seems to be more authentic demons this time around. I don't think they're shying away from that. this movie may suck. It may be surprisingly decent. But I think all of this reaction to the trailer, this negative reaction without anybody having seen it, because from what I can tell, this nobody has seen this movie yet. I think it's just fans with a stick up their ass. They don't know.
I think it's more the fact that the people who are unhappy with it are the people who like the game. See, I know you can look at it like I can look at it as, oh, that looks like an entertaining B-movie that'll probably be a lot of fun. They're looking at, like, I love this game, this is what it should be, and no one's ever got it right.
But how do they know? See, that's my thing. Like, the last movie got a lot of criticism, and I always remind people, there's not, the original Doom, there's not a lot of fucking story in that game. You know, there really isn't. Video game doesn't equal a script. And the last movie, big budget and everything, but that kind of, you know, danced around the whole demonic theme. It was aliens. I haven't watched that in a while. I felt it was still dumb fun. I thought towards the end some of the POV stuff they did was actually kind of cool. I like Carl Urban and whatnot. But, you know, this might be a little bit more true to the game, truthfully. I mean, it's not going to be as grand in scale or anything. But, again, the creatures look pretty good from what I've seen of it. And, yeah, I don't know. I'm not bitching about it yet. Like I said, the trailer doesn't really give you a whole lot. This movie could be surprisingly good, or it could be a complete piece of shit. But yeah. Yeah.
All
surprised
right.
We haven't got Duke Nukem, though. Even I know that game, and we've yet to get a Duke Nukem movie.
Yeah, I am kind of surprised.
Believe that's all I have. Did I miss anything news-wise?
Well, there was kind of a little trailer that came out, you know.
Oh, fuck. Three from Hell. Of course.
Yeah.
How did I miss that? The one that Todd has watched 60 times at least at this point. I don't even think I'm being funny there. Fuck you, Todd. I can't remember everything. God damn it. Yes.
It's close to a longer trailer. No, the first one was a teaser. This is the first trailer. Come on, Dan, get it right.
Well, I want to make sure they know we're talking about a brand new trailer. They may have already seen the teaser and not care. Yes. What are your thoughts on the official trailer?
Looks amazing. I can't wait. Already have my tickets purchased for Monday and Thursday for the Fathom screening. And September can't
there
come quick
enough. That's what she said. I'm surprised you actually didn't book all 3 days.
You know what's going to happen? I have a feeling I'm going to watch it that first day and be like, God damn it, I want to see it tomorrow. And if there's seats left, I'll end up getting it.
You're not going to make it to the second one.
No. We'll see.
You're going to be banned for masturbating in the theater, Todd. They're going to
I'm saving that for the third
ass.
One.
Just, yeah, let it go. Pee-wee Herman, do it out in the alleyway, Todd, where you're less likely to be caught. Didn't work out well for him, but... I booked my ticket, too. I'm very... excited.
I'm going to go in there with a shirt with Pee Wee Herman on the front and Fred Willard on the back.
Poor Fred Willard, though. That's a generational thing. I mean, he's from the gen. I mean, hey, I've always said I'd love to go back to old school 42nd Street, but I cannot imagine whacking off in a theater. I just can't, like, that. It's hard for me to wrap my head around that people used to do that. Like, what's the etiquette? Like, if somebody's, like, two seats down getting their dick sucked, do you look? Do you not look? How does that work?
It's only no eye contact if they're beating off. They're getting their dick sucked. You're allowed to make eye contact and give like the head nod in approval.
There you go. That's Todd with 42nd Street.
I'll tell you
etiquette.
I'll tell you the story. The one time we were going to go, I believe it was the Pussycat Theater, and because they had John Wayne Bobbitt uncut, and God damn it, it was always checked out at the video store. So we went there. It was a group of us. We went inside. First thing, I was kind of surprised they had a popcorn counter. And then my second thing was like, do I really want to eat popcorn? Exactly.
Yeah. sticky for a different reason.
And I felt bad for the girl that worked there because she was a pretty girl. So I'm sure she's seen like more cocks than, yeah.
Sunny.
Yeah, there you go. Wait, five if you ask her.
Do you ask her how many cocks she's seen?
Well, she always says she's only like, I don't know. Go listen to Sunny's interview. She's like, oh, I didn't do that. I'm not a whore. Blah blah blah. Five wrestlers.
Pre-married life, Todd? Were you trying to bang the popcorn lady?
Oh no no no! I was talking about Sunny. Yes, it was pre-married life. This John Wayne Bobbitt came out like 25 years ago.
Well, it could have been a retro screening. I mean,
No, it was first run. We never actually went in because we're like, oh, this is just too skeevy. We got into the section to buy our tickets and get popcorn and shit. We're like, yeah, maybe not. And then I ended up renting it from
Caesar
the warehouse.
Was with you?
I want to say he was. I'll have to ask him.
Ah, okay. Okay, well, see, I guess that would be pre-married. I don't know. How long has Caesar been married? I don't know exactly.
Pretty much since I've been Caesar's friend, they've been together.
Okay. I said, well, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
I was close
to two decades.
Yeah, I was closer with Danielle first.
Oh, cool. All right, I didn't learn more about your origins every day, Todd.
Yeah.
Lose a little respect that you didn't go and see the movie, but
it wasn't a my
TV
call
for Todd.
It wasn't a my call. I would have went and saw it.
Ah, Caesar was creeped out.
I don't know. It was one of the girls.
Okay. How'd you get women to go to a porn theater with you, Todd? That's pretty wild.
Nah, the 90s.
I miss the 90s. Poor Fred Willard. But anyways,
yeah, we should talk about.
What did you think of the trailer? Yeah, we should.
I loved it.
Porn.
I loved it. It was amazing. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, you get some brief glimpses of Danny Trejo in there. It was great seeing Richard Brake.
With speculation, I think Captain Spaulding's involvement is going to be minimized just from the trailer.
I would not be surprised about that. Although it's three from hell, he kind of has to have screen time.
Well, if you notice,
the
shot of them all walking together, it's three of them, but the third one's not Spaulding.
Yeah, that is true. Maybe Richard Brake is, maybe Spaulding gets like a Yoda type role.
I don't know.
He did look rough.
He did.
Did
he look older,
rough?
But he can also still be in jail. I don't know. We'll see. We'll all find out together. And I hate that Dan gets to see it 3 hours before me. I'm going to be on radio silence that day.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think any text that comes from me, you're just going to ignore it. I'm going to screen capture all of the, so you get all the titty spoilers, Todd.
You don't know how to screen capture.
Does it count as titty spoilers if it's Clint Howard or Sid Haig's old man titties? Does that count?
I'm going to say
yes. Does that make you triggered?
Yes.
All right. Well, there you go. I'll keep all the titty spoilers to myself. Anyway, yeah, I think it looks really good. Fingers crossed. I mean, Devil's Rejects is like even Rob Zombie haters, that's like the one movie that gets a little bit of respect. So I know that the expectations are very, very high for this. I almost feel like I need to sort of just, you know, check my expectations. Don't go in expecting something on the level of Rejects. But we might get it. I mean, again, who knows? I mean, this is established Rob Zombie territory. I'm sure that this is a film that he's had in his head for a very long time. So I'm hoping for the best. I'm a little disappointed this didn't go wide, but, you know, it is what it is.
Well, if you think about it, has there ever truly been a wide release of any of this trilogy? The wide, air quote, release of House of a Thousand Corpses was 595 screen. I think Devil's Rejects would qualify as wide.
Yeah, Rejects was. I mean, that.
Yeah.
I mean, where was I at that point? I was either. I guess I was still Washington State at that point, or it might have just been new to. But anyways, yeah, the theater I saw it at, yeah, that wasn't something that got a lot of limited releases. So, Rejects, yeah, was live. I don't know. I guess I was just hoping. Established characters, cult film. I figured it'd get a little bit more, but yeah, depending where you're at, though, I wouldn't wait to buy tickets till the last minute. I don't know whether these will sell out. I'm seeing it at, like, the big theater. Not Dolby, I guess, but where I'm seeing it, they don't have it in the indie theater by any means. But there were some seats that were starting to fill up. So depending where you're at, you should probably...
And we should mention it's still in pre-sale till Friday, but you can still get it on the AMC app. So, but otherwise, go to the Rob Zombie Facebook page if you're not going to AMC and just click the link and it'll give you the pre-order.
There you go. Are you seeing it at your normal theater?
I am.
Or are you seeing it like in LA? Okay,
normal theater both times.
Yeah, we've been talking about how to do this. We might have like a short episode just for that. Maybe that night when everybody gets back. We'll see, but stay tuned. All right, well, I guess we better get into our reviews for the evening. We'll kick things off with... let's kick it off with a release that caused a lot of anxiety.
I can already tell we're doing the Dead Pit.
Of course.
We don't need to go too much into the controversy. We can just talk about the film.
We don't, but yeah, people were very eager to get this one.
It was the hottest cult title of all times in the history of all time.
There you go. I think I even almost gave a friend a stroke for some interaction I had over this movie. But from Dark Force, darkforcesuperstore.com, for those of you unaware if you want to buy this one. This is a 1989 zombie film from director Brett Leonard of Lawnmower Man fame. Dr. Ramsey, a deviant who enjoys torturing his patients, is killed by a fellow doctor and buried in the basement of a mental health facility. 20 years later, the hospital is up and running again, and a Jane Doe arrives at the institute with amnesia. Upon her arrival, a major earthquake rocks the building and unnerves the now-dead Dr. Ramsey and his legion of zombie patients so he can continue his evil work. All right, so Dead Pit was always seemed back in the day a little bit of an obscurity. I remember it took me a little bit to get a hold of it back in the VHS era. I'm a big fan of this one. In fact, I actually have the original poster as you walk down into my library. So I've always really liked it. It came at a time when zombie movies were definitely on their way out, going into the very quiet 90s where zombie films, there weren't a lot to be had. So this was kind of one of the last. Again, I know there's exceptions to the rule, but generally speaking, kind of one of the last zombie films. And it's, if you haven't seen it, it's pretty unique. An absolutely awesome location that they had for this. It's kind of, I mean, definitely has its slasher elements as well, kind of before it goes full zombie. It's a film that I always, back in the day, I'd always bring it up. Nobody had heard of it usually, although apparently it did quite well. I thought the villain was Dr. Ramsey was really creepy with the glowing red eyes, and it was definitely one of a handful of movies in my early days of talking horror with people. I'm like, oh, have you seen Dead Pit? And they've never seen it. Much like
I just have
like
to ask,
Maniacs.
Did you say it just as sleazy as that? Have you seen Neon Maniacs?
Pretty much. And I tweaked my nipples while I said it. Maybe that's why they, you know, kind of just slowly backed away from me. But
that makes sense.
But yes. what is your history with Dead Pit, Todd? Was this one that you saw kind of after it came out, or did you first discover the Code Red DVD?
Oh, God, no. Come on. How old am I? You know that fucking VHS tape caught my eye and I rented it.
You're an old... You're an old motherfucker, but you know, you never know. Could have believed you.
Yeah,
it took me a little bit to get a hold of it.
Yeah, that art had me.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I it is one of those ones that kind of gets swept under the rug and forgot about. I'm glad it's got this new Blu-ray. It's a very entertaining
mm-hmm.
film. For what is it? Isn't the director a one-time director? If I'm not mistaken.
No, Brett Leonard. Brett Leonard.
Oh,
Lawnmower
Brett Leonard.
Man.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
I'm thinking of last week's movie.
Feed.
Fucking yes.
I love Brett Leonard. He's
no,
not
I'm
Terrence, though too.
No, I know. I got him confused with what we reviewed last week, and I can't think of his name. The Arrow one. Okay. Yeah. The fucking Brett Leonard. Because I watched the extras, I should have known that. but yeah, it's one I could see. It's kind of weird to recommend it because you have to jump through hoops now to get it. But if you can get a hold of this, even the old Code Red DVD, it's worth seeking out and seeing.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, it kind of supernatural slasher, and then it kind of goes full zombie mode. It's very unique. It's one that it's there's nothing like exactly like it. I'm not saying it's like a 80s zombie classic on the level of a Day of the Dead or anything like that, but I always really enjoyed the gimmick. And I always forget, like on the poster art, they had like that pinhead looking character coming out of the pit, and it was always like, they're just ripping off Hellraiser. There's nothing like that, but it kind of makes sense because we get some, the doctor does insert some pins in people's heads, so it kind of made sense. I mean, I think they were still capitalizing. Well, yes, I thought maybe we would get Pinhead in this. I was a kid, God damn it. But yeah, there's some really good gore in this to be had. We get some very gratuitous titty action. Nurses
best kind
spraying. Yes, you're usually naked before they start spraying you down with the hose. So we should have had more than that, but it's all good. Like I said, really good villain, fantastic location. I think this is a very, very underrated movie that was worth the hype.
Dan, did we lose you? Did we lose me?
I hear you.
Sierra Hotel.
India.
Echo.
Lima.
Delta.
Shield.
What's going on, Todd? Hello, hello? Well, hold
nope.
on here. I don't know who
nope.
we lost.
No, we're there now. I don't know what happened.
Oh, okay. Where did we drop? Because I never stopped hearing you.
Oh, okay. Well, then whenever I said hello, hello, just continue on. We're fine.
Oh, all right. Cool, cool. Well, hopefully you didn't miss anything. So, I don't know if I want to say great film, but, I don't know how much nostalgia is taking over for me, but it's actually a good double with The Resurrected for me. It kind of another film, kind of had that pit element to it. Different type of film, but
yeah.
I always like to direct the good double. I remember, I think I found this one finally when we weren't living there, but I think I found this at a video store in Denver.
Yeah.
For some reason, it took me a while to find it at my local places, and I remember actually getting this, I don't remember where it was, but somewhere in Denver, and becoming a really big fan of it. Is it hard to get the Blu-ray right now? I haven't paid attention if the store's open again.
I saw it was open once or twice, so you got to just keep watching the Dark Force Facebook page.
Okay, cool. But you'll get it eventually. This one, though, I will say is worth the hype. When they put out Last Victim, which we reviewed, the Forced Entry remake, whatever you want to call it, that movie sucks. So this one is actually worth your time. So I think once you get it, you will feel that you didn't, waste your time. And they even did a gimmick slip cover that glows in the dark. So that's pretty damn cool as well. I don't think any of the extras were new. They were all ported over. But nonetheless, they were pretty extensive. So I can't complain too much about that. The movie for me, I don't have any major criticisms. There were a couple spotty acting moments, but nothing particularly bad. Like I said, this movie's very well paced, the lead actress I thought did a pretty decent job, Cheryl Lawson. I give this one a 4 out of 5. I think if any zombie fan who hasn't seen it should check it out. What say you, Todd?
Yeah, I agree with that. Anyone, if you haven't seen it and you're a zombie fan, check it out.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I believe eventually there'll be a standard release of this, right? They just won't have the slip. Have they said anything?
They have, so I would expect it.
Okay, so if you just want the movie, don't panic too much. I'm like I said, eventually you'll get it. If it's selling this well, there'll be more. All right, so moving on to our next film, which is a brand new film from Sweden, and one of our favorite companies, Artsploitation Films, and this is Blood Paradise from director Patrick von Barkenberg. That is a badass name. Shit, I shouldn't have even said it. I could have been Barkenberg. That's fucking awesome. Now I'm sad.
Yeah.
It's like Harvey Weinstein's badass.
I was gonna say it could be like the Andersons. You're just a different brother.
There you go. There you go. I could have taken it. Damn it. Anyways, Blood Paradise, unpredictable and drenched in sly humor, this sexy thriller follows best-selling crime writer Robin as she goes to the Swedish countryside to regain inspiration. Instead of relaxation, she confronts an assortment of peculiar and increasingly dangerous characters, including her most obsessive fan, his explosively jealous wife, and the progressively more unhinged man who owns the farm. The beautiful and stylish young woman soon discovers just how dangerous farm life can be. So love this company. Lots of great films. Wither. I'm always putting over these guys. Memory of the Dead. Der Bunker. A lot of great foreign horror films and sci-fi films, drama, they do it all. So this one is definitely different. It follows Robin when she gets some bad reviews for her book, and she goes out to Sweden. It the way it begins almost feels like this is going to be kind of a sexploitation movie. It's a film that never necessarily totally settles on a tone. It's a dude that's just, like, sucking her toes. There's a random gimp scene. And there are a few moments of nudity from the lead, who is very easy on the eyes. That is probably, I'm not going to lie, the highlight here for me. So I like this. You could almost compare it similar to a Midsummer vibe to a point. I was kind of enjoying the build. My issue with this film is it kind of gets to the end and it never quite goes anywhere. In fact, there's some really stupid decision making. I'm not going to spoil anything. Both on the character Robin's part, we get the typical dropping of a weapon that you know your only form of protection after you use it, and also the villains too, who kind of had her dead to rights at different points, and it gets pretty dumb. It really does. It's well made, well acted, and that's what kind of disappointed me. It's a horror comedy, but like I said, it's one of those horror comedies that doesn't do either particularly well, and just disappointed me a lot. It has its moments. I really probably would have been kinder to this if it had a better finale, but this movie just doesn't go anywhere at all. What did you think, Todd? Am I being too harsh on this one? I didn't get a whole lot out of this. And it's
no,
sad.
Honestly, I was a little disappointed with this one. I was hoping for something better. I want to say something nice about it. I wasn't not entertained. It just wasn't. It didn't go exactly where I thought it should have, and it's just one that's hard to recommend. I don't know if it's like a culture thing or not that didn't translate. It's just I didn't. Yeah, I wasn't in love with this one at all.
Yeah, I mean, like probably the creepiest moment is when you kind of have like a Buffalo Bill type character. And like I said, it has its times where it felt like it was starting to get suspenseful and interesting. There's certain characters in this, like I believe he was supposed to be the son, who like literally never does anything. I'm like, okay, this is like the possibly retarded, like inbred type character, although he wasn't disfigured or anything, but just deformed, but it just never goes anywhere. And then towards the end, I'm like, it feels like some characters were just kind of forgotten about. The last scene doesn't make any sense at all. I was disappointed. I will say the movie probably didn't have a very big budget, but it never felt cheap or anything. The actors all felt professional. But I tend to love these sort of rural, I don't know, in Sweden, I guess they're not really hillbillies, but I guess they'd have that too. So Swedish hillbillies, horror films. This one just didn't do it for me. Most of the gags just never quite hit for me, and it's all build, no payoff. But it's not unwatchable, but I can only give this one a 2, unfortunately. It's not the best of art exploitation, for sure, but dip yourself in their catalog. Like I said, what they have put out on Blu-ray is very cheap, so... Honestly, I'll get anything they put out on Blu-ray. But a 2 for me. What say you, Todd?
Yeah, I'm actually on par with this one. I'm a 2 myself. It wasn't one I'd recommend.
Yeah, but you do get some nice views of a very attractive, fully nude Swedish lady. So I had to be kind, but yes. All right, so moving on to our next film. We'll knock out one more before break. Why not? Our theatrical film, Crawl, which I think all of you have seen the trailer, but this is the new Alexander Aja flick. And this one follows a professional swimmer who goes to check on her father during a Category 5 storm down in Florida and finds that there's been an accident and there are alligators in their slowly flooding house. All right. So, Todd, what did you think of this one? We've had some similar films to this. What do you think of this one, kind of combining disaster movie and creature feature?
Yeah, I actually like this quite a bit. I will say, off the bat, though, for an Alexander Aja film, I was actually expecting a little more. But for what it was, it was a good creature feature. I had fun with it. I was entertained. I mean, it was kind of a small set. Enclosed, tears coming from in here and out there stuff. Like I said to you, the only thing that I was like, why didn't you just flip the boat over? But Dan was quick to point out we don't know how heavy it was. And I'll be honest, I've never flipped the boat, so I don't know.
Yes. There's an engine. You can't just, you can't just flip our boat. I don't think it's humanly possible, so... that was a smaller boat, but still, I don't think it would be as easy. For a woman, I don't think it would be that easy to flip it. There were some questionable logic. I mean, we can say, because it's in the trailer, that it's not a big thing, but that there's some eggs that were laid. So you could explain, because alligators aren't – I mean, again, I'm not a wildlife expert, but they're not crocs. They're really not as aggressive towards people, and I guess that's why they kind of had the nest element to it. Some people that bite, why they would be a little bit more aggressive, I guess. We've had some very similar movies that I wanted to point out, because there's the Australian flick Bait. Which follows, a tsunami, where people are trapped in a supermarket with these sharks, which was very good. There's also a film called Burning Bright, where it's a lady trapped in a house with this tiger. I don't think there was a disaster element to that one, but there have been some similar films. So this one's not... an entirely original premise. I believe kind of unique that Serbia doubles for Florida.
Yeah.
This is a Serbian film, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Did a pretty, honestly, I was kind of surprised. I mean, it kind of worked, particularly, I guess, with the storm. Chances are, this is one of those movies, like, if the trailer looked interesting to you, it's not going to let you down. There were some moments, like I said, where she's more or less, like, face-to-face with the crocodiles. And again, in the trailer, you even see she gets bit. There were a few moments like that where I was like, okay, that really would probably be the end of this this story if this was really happening. But nonetheless, I love a good creature feature, and I really enjoyed this. I think you're right with Aja. He got off to such a good start, such a great start with, High Tension, and then Hills Have Eyes, which I still maintain is among the greatest remakes ever. That movie is so fucking good. It's ridiculous that it doesn't get the respect that it deserves. I think that's the problem with him. It's like, I think Mirrors was a good flick. It wasn't Hills Have Eyes level, and that was the problem for some people, but, and I think he did a kick-ass job with Piranha.
Oh, yes.
At this point, he's a guy who, and his films aren't all alike either. So I do have a lot of respect for Aja. Does this rank among the best of his films? No, but it's also totally different. What do you rate this one, Todd?
I'm a 3.5.
Okay, yeah, I'm at a 3.5 too. Mostly because, again, you've seen it before. But
yeah.
If you've seen it before and you like it, you're definitely going to enjoy this one quite a bit. Also, Barry Pepper, the dad, a guy who his career did not start off so well. He was the lead in Battlefield Earth, which, oh, man, I still remember seeing that in the theater. Kind of pegged to become a big star. Never became big, but he's still around, and I think hopefully he's lived that one down somewhat. He was really good. Also kudos for the dog, too. It's a cool dog in this film that takes part in a lot of action himself. Would you say the least goriest film, though, he's made? Because this film wasn't,
yeah,
like, as gory as I expected from Alexander Aja.
Yeah, it was kind of light on the gore.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to let some people down. I was like, oh, wow. It's definitely not Piranha. We don't get any Jerry O'Connell moments.
Unfortunately.
But nonetheless, I was going to say, I was waiting for the gator to, like, bite some chick's top off or something, and it's like, you know, give us something, but alas, not here. But no, I think you should definitely go check it out after you check out Midsommar, because if you've listened to the last show, I can't say enough good things about Midsommar. That movie is the best, one of the best I've seen this year, along with The Perfection on Netflix. Those may be my two favorite horror films so far this year, but yeah. All right, so, Todd, you want to take our break now?
We can absolutely do that, and I will.
Cool.
All right, we will be back in about 4 minutes.
Cool.
Yeah.
And we are back.
We are. What the fuck?
That was the end of it, Dan.
Did you just bust a nut? Oh, okay. I was going to say, like, finished just in time, Todd. We are back. Well, that was random, but always fun to hear. Keith, that really reminded me, too. Are we done? Is the Lionsgate Vestron Blu-ray label, is it dead now?
No, we're getting more.
Shit. You are? Okay, because why haven't we heard anything? It feels like it's been a good long while. I don't think we've had a release this year, have we?
I don't remember, but I hear things.
Oh, you hear things, so. Well, I'm not privy to this. God
damn it,
Todd.
Well, not on air.
Well, make me privy to it, God damn it. So, yeah, now we're like dicks. Things are known, and we are keeping them from you. And that's too bad. Yeah, I'm just speculating, but yeah, I really would like to see them put out May number one, the Angela Bettis flick that
yes.
Does have an HD transfer, and Santa's Sleigh I'd really like, considering the star power in that movie. I think that is worthy of a release. I mean, there's a lot, but it feels like there's still several no-brainers that they haven't put out, and I'm like, oh, man. And we should know something soon. I would, at the very least, hope maybe we'd get something in time for Halloween. But just around the corner. That release slate is starting to fill up, so we shall see. So we're going to tackle some Andy Sidaris flicks. Any longtime listeners of the show know that we love Andy Sidaris. I'm so fucking eager for them to get to the Buff Bagwell era.
Yes.
I hope they
the
do.
Last
I'm sure
two.
They will. Yes. I think actually on 83 Weeks, Eric Bischoff tells a story about allowing him to go shoot that, which was pretty funny. I love Andy Sidaris. You know, it's funny though, watching these films, I mean, they're not new extras, obviously, but it fucking breaks my heart to see Julie Strain. Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's, brutal. But anyways, we'll get right into our films. Julie Strain, who of course is suffering from, dementia right now. Although I heard she was maybe coming out of hospice, which was good news. I haven't seen an update in a while, but yeah, hopefully she improves a little bit. All right, so the first film from 1988, Picasso Trigger, from Andy Sidaris, follows spy Travis Abilene and lethal agents Donna and Karen from Paris to Texas to Hawaii to Las Vegas, as they attempt to thwart the insidious Salazar, a master of deception who is about to unveil his masterpiece, a plot to blast his enemies to kingdom come. Co-starring Cynthia Brimhall, Patty Duffick, and a group of beautiful women who are armed with an arsenal of weapons, prepare for double crosses, dive-bombing toy planes, exploding boomerangs, and rocket-launching leg crutches. All right. So Picasso Trigger, Todd, where does this one fall in the Andy Sidaris film canon for you?
This is more of an in the middle one, I think, for me. Maybe maybe a little under, but it's still like all Andy Sidaris films. It's still a lot of fun. Great locations, great women. I'm still waiting for Shay Marks and Julie Strain, but that's, we got a while for that. But but yeah,
first jump in?
Shay Marks
Julie,
or Julie Strain?
I'm trying to remember.
They're both,
Julie.
I want to say, Julie is the one his son directed? I want to say it is, because there's two he didn't direct. Dallas Connection and Do or Die, maybe it is. It's one of those two.
Well,
I want to
Die and Guns are the next two.
Okay, then it's not that. It's Dallas Connection. I can't remember what the one after was. I think Dallas Connection is her first one.
Okay. Yeah, I know she's in that, and of course, Return to Savage Beach. She was in five total, so yeah, she should be popping up here soon. It seems like at least so far they're releasing these in chronological order. And you can get, of course, Seven, his early film from Kino on Blu-ray. So, yeah, if you haven't dipped your toes in Andy Sidaris films, they all bleed together in a way, all very similar, yet absolutely one of a kind. The every film he did, starting with Seven, was just pure cult movie gold. From some very creative kills in these films. Picasso isn't as good as The Last Batch. Hard to Hawaii and Malibu Express, I think, are bonkers. And
exactly.
Picasso Trigger, I don't want to say plays it straight, because it definitely doesn't, but I think for Sidaris, it plays it a little more straight. I mean, we still get to see a lot of explosions, a lot of skin. We get to that poor Mexican gardener who gets blown up, which I thought was kind of racist. If they had only done this in the era of Mexicals, though, since they did have wrestling crossover, that would have been funny, but we didn't get it. Pantera, though, holy fucking shit, was she hot. That was, the ladies were looking good in this one. It does feel a little more restrained, though, for Sidaris. But nonetheless, if you like one, you'll like them all. You really will. Just the random sex scenes at time. The Kool-Aid moment with the Terminator dude busting through the wall. And we still get, an exploding boomerang and, a lot of crazy shit in this one. It's still great. Like I said, it's just this isn't the same highlight reel of craziness that the other ones are. I still give it a 4, though. I fucking love these films. They're one of a kind. Entertaining as hell.
I'm a little lower on this one. I'm giving it a 3.5.
Okay. Yeah, that's lower than kind of what I rate a lot of Sidaris films. They don't make them like this anymore. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. This in particular, they really don't make them like this anymore. Tons of nudity, yet again, I should point out, not softcore porn. These are movies you could probably watch with just about anybody and enjoy. They're just so crazy. And it'll be interesting revisiting them. I think if you go deeper into the film catalog, they do start to get a little bit more bump and grindy. Maybe the last couple. Well, that could just be my memory. I haven't watched them in a while. 3.5, Picasso Trigger. Our next one came the following year in 89.
And I do want to throw this out. I do want to throw this out before he jumps through. It does port over all of the extras from the DVD.
Yes, they all seem to at this point. And like I said, Julie was so much fun. She'd make anything with her extras. Delta Delta Die is a funny one that she did. And there's extras where it's just pretty much her hanging out at her house. also getting naked. And she was always a lot of fun. So Savage Beach, the following year in 1989. In this blazing action adventure, the desperate search for $1 billion worth of stolen gold exposes two beautiful lethal agents, Donna Spear and Hope Marie Carlton once again, to the ultimate danger and turns the shores of a tropical island into the blood-splattered sands of Savage Beach. Donna and Taryn's latest undercover mission ends when their plane crashes on a deserted South Seas island, and they are captured by a group of Navy commandos seeking a fortune hidden there 50 years earlier. But another group is on the island, a band of terrorists who will leave no witnesses behind. Caught in the crossfire, the only hope for Donna and Taryn is to join their captors and pray their dedication to duty is stronger than their lust for gold. All right, so again, this one has a sequel at one point. Although I guess in a way you could kind of say they're all sort of sequels.
No, they all connect.
They all connect. So
they're all part of a series. It's like James Bond. You can watch them alone, but they do all connect. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't call that a sequel. It's just, yeah.
I think, if I recall, I want to say the Donna character was in 7 of the movies. Taryn was only, I believe, in 3, maybe 4, but I think 3. Of course, you have new faces, a lot of actors playing different roles in different movies. This one has some familiar faces. Adult film star Terry Weigel pops up in this one.
Yes.
I know, Todd, that's your era. You love Terry Weigel.
Definitely was a fan.
She's one who kind of came back and did a lot of MILF porn. Not a lot, but she did some in years.
Someone's going to have to go on the internet and find it, prove this is true or not.
It's true, Todd. Are you questioning my porn knowledge, sir? Do I need to take off the glove and challenge you to a duel?
I believe half of what I see and none of what I hear, so I have to at least watch it.
I will have to dig it up for you. I shouldn't say a ton, but she did later do some sort of MILF cougar-related porn. All right, so Savage Beach. You know it's going to be good when it opens up with drugs being smuggled into a pineapple and then somebody blowing up a pineapple to kill the bad guys. This one I like better than Picasso Trigger, actually. There were some funny one-liners in this. Again, Trademark, Sidaris, all of these films are very, very similar. I thought it was funny, the ultimate in gratuitous nudity, that they have them, like, get stripped down and do nudity while they're flying a plane through a storm. I thought that was on the level of Anna Nicole Smith in her action classic Skyscraper and To the Limit, where despite the terrorists, she still has time to lather up and take a shower. We also get iconic henchman Al Leung, who shows up in here. I've actually met him. He's a really nice guy. Met him at Chiller, I believe. A lot of random moments. We get a decapitated rooster. There's a lot of what the fuck stuff in here. I don't know. Did you prefer this one over Picasso? I ranked this a little higher than Picasso Trigger.
Yeah, I did. I actually do enjoy this one a lot more. It's a lot more fun. It's a lot more. It's weird. It's a lot more Sedaris than the last one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I kind of wonder if he totally realized that he had his niche yet at that point. Although, like I said, Picasso's still pretty wild. And my memory, again, I don't believe any of these really, like, went full mainstream. Like, you would kind of think maybe at some point he might have just said, all right, let's just play it straight and make a regular action movie. I believe they were all pretty similar in terms of formula. And I've had a blast revisiting these. You know, Mill Creek, not exactly considered one of the prestigious companies, but they've been putting out some really high-quality releases as of late. Would I have liked to have seen new interviews, though, with Donna Spear and Hope Marie Carlton? God damn, I would love to. Be so curious to see what they're up to and how they're doing. Yeah, this one's crazy. I mean, we get the old one-man samurai army who shows up at the end. So I'm a little higher on this one. Again, this is me. I'm not saying all of you are going to have such a high rating, but I am a 4.5 on this one. I do think it's better. And we also get some gratuitous gun and penis innuendo with Donna and the Abilene character that I thought was funny as well. I'm still a child at heart.
Donna, I know. You give out these ratings willy-nilly. It's all right.
You, Todd. I'll rate it whatever I goddamn please. Now, what's my
deal? Well, one, I didn't say you couldn't. I'm just going to call out. Well, I'm a 4. I rate more reasonable than
go.
Dan. Dan's like, but it gave me a hard on 5.
Well, you're lucky we don't review more Jess Franco stuff, because those are going to get a lot of hard on 5s from me, Todd.
No, I know.
We've had a distinct lack of Franco. We need to remedy that. Maybe when we're down together in October, maybe we'll do a Franco night. I mean, we've done a few, but I feel it's criminal that I don't think we've ever actually reviewed Barbed Wire Dolls. That should happen. All right, so there you go. There's 4 of these out so far. You'll have, I believe, 12 in total. 13 if you count 7 from Kino. I highly recommend it to action movie lovers. All right. Moving on to our TV review for the evening. Into the Dark, Culture Shock, which I do not have a synopsis, but I'll do my best here. This entry into the Into the Dark franchise follows a girl named Marisol in Mexico who has made a couple attempts to cross the border into America for a better life. The last time she suffered a brutal rape and is now trying to make it over the border pregnant. I knew this one was kind of timely. I didn't know all of the hook, but I knew it sort of followed somebody trying to cross the border, which, of course, again, right now, that's needless to say, very, very timely. Are we doing any spoilers on this before I go any further?
We normally do in the TV portion, unless you're saying this isn't. Unless you're saying this isn't TV and we can't do that.
Oh well, I can be vague on this one. I don't think I need to go full spoilers, but anyways, needless to say, she crosses and finds herself in a eerily perfect, very welcoming American community where things are a bit too perfect, a bit kind of a Stepford vibe. Barbara Crampton, of course, genre veteran who pops up a lot lately and is always very welcome. It's kind of, I guess you could say, the her ambassador of sorts, who kind of takes care of her. She makes this trek with a young boy and then a sort of cartel guy or former cartel guy. You kind of see the change.
Dad means some dude with tattoos profiling like always. Goddamn white people.
Well, they heavily implied that he was cartel, Todd.
I didn't get that heavy implication.
Really, I'm pretty sure. I'm going to go back, Todd, because I think there was a reference his past.
I'm just saying I didn't get that heavy implication.
Those tattoos were cartel tattoos. I'm going to prove you wrong on this one.
I don't. Okay. Oh, because I called you racist. Okay. Damn it. That was my fault.
But anyways. So, overall, I really like Into the Dark. We have, we've had a few misses, but overall, I think there's a lot of very high quality stuff from the body to, you know, pretty much a lot. I feel like it's dipped slightly lately, the quality a little bit. This one for me, it's why I always say this, the Trump era is very hard to kind of parody or do any kind of satire because it's just so, irregardless of your political opinions, it's just so wild now. I mean, it's hard to parody what's already, like, become so ridiculous. So I felt this one was a little bit over the top for me, the premise. I felt like I actually feel like this would have been a little more interesting if it was just, I don't know, maybe she encountered, like, some obstacles on the border, some maybe a more standard villain or something. Because the whole Stepford thing and where things go, for me, this just wasn't as compelling as it could have been. Because I do think the setting was very good, especially for a 4th of July episode. Where does this one fall for you, Todd? I really like the lead actress and everything, but it just, I don't know, this one was lacking.
It was in the middle for me. It wasn't, it might even be the lower. It might be a little under. I was still entertained by it, but it wasn't some of the classics we mentioned early on, like The Body and some of the other ones. But it was still worth the watch. I definitely say if you like the other ones, still check it out. I mean, if you're watching them anyway, you got Hulu. But, I think it's still a worth – while it's not the best, it's still a worthwhile entry.
It had a couple cool gore moments, the nightstick thing that definitely brought me to life. It's not horrible, but I do think it ranks among the weaker entries in this. I kind of kept thinking, like, I don't know if you remember them, but I was like, man, this would be kind of good doubled. Watch it first because I think it's better, but like the Masters of Horror episode Homecoming, another good, I wish I had thought to watch that on July 4th, but I didn't. Kind of made sense. Or even the Washingtonians, actually. That's a little more out there, but that's another good kind of political-themed Masters of Horror episode. This one's just middle of the road. I mean, I actually, like I said, I kind of wish this wasn't as over-the-top in its premise, because the setup was really good. I was very emotionally invested in Marisol and seeing her make it out of this. And it's a character that almost goes full Todd at one point. So I figured this would be your favorite, but.
No, I was underwhelmed still. Sorry to disappoint you.
Yeah. How many more of these do we have to go now? We're getting towards the end, aren't we?
Two more.
I don't know what to call it.
Series. We have July. Well, we have July. August, September. We have two more.
Okay, because I was going to say we've already had Halloween, Christmas. I was kind of curious. I was like, oh, okay. Is there going to be – is there any announcement?
I don't know. I know. I was wondering the same. I guess we'll find out closer. I mean, I don't think I've heard any kind of official anything on it.
Okay. Yeah, I was curious. So this one I'd give this one a 2.5. It's fine, but it just – the overall story just didn't blow me away in any way. But yeah, you should definitely watch it. Some of you may like it more. What say you, Todd?
Yeah, I'm a 3.
Oh, okay, you went a little bit higher. All right, that's cool.
Yeah, I know. I was going back and forth. I liked it enough to give it a 3.
Yeah. No, this one really was making me think, God, I miss Masters of Horror.
Yeah.
I really fucking miss Masters of Horror. We need an HBO anthology again. Or whatever. Showtime, yes, I keep forgetting. But Stars, Showtime, we need a good horror anthology. I'd like to see, like, them do it now with, like, newer names in the genre and kind of do it that way. I don't know. New hook. But anyways, we will be on tomorrow for Squared Circle Society, so be sure to tune in. It should be a lot of fun. We will be back next week with our Vinegar Syndrome show, and we'll probably have at least one other title to add on there for that one. FleshmanFeatures.com. Check it out.
Nice. We'll be back tomorrow. Yeah, good night, guys.
Good night, guys.